So our topic tonight is how to keep your kids Catholic. So it's a wonderful topic, and it's, of course, tremendous to see the turnout tonight. Thank you so much for being here. We'll try not to keep you too long, but we want to try to give you some encouragement and some thoughts and some ideas on how to raise your children in the faith, to become saints, to help them get to heaven. As you know, that's the purpose of marriage and family life, is to get your spouse and your children to heaven one day. When you got married, your job was to get your husband to heaven. When you got married, it was your job to get your wife to heaven. I wonder who has the tougher job. But it's your job to get your spouse to heaven. Their job is to get you to heaven. And your job as parents is to get your kids to heaven, and eventually your grandkids, so that you can be happy forever. That's why God created us. God created us to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him, so we could be happy for all eternity. See, all of us are made for eternity. We're not made for earth. We're only here a short period of time. Whether somebody's given 20 years, or 40 years, or 80 years, or 90-some years, we're all only here temporarily, so our job is to get to heaven. And so your job is to help get your kids to heaven, to help them to become the best Catholic Christians that they can be. So in tonight's reflection, I divided it up into three parts, because we belong to Holy Trinity Church, which is three, so there are three parts to the talk. The first part is just some introductory thoughts, some ideas to share with you. And the second part is to give you a few suggestions in the order of nature that you can do for your family. And third, to give you some suggestions in the order of grace. Because Thomas Aquinas says that grace builds on nature. So first, though, a few introductory thoughts. It's probably never been more challenging in the history of mankind to try to raise kids Catholic than it is in this day and age. For example, studies that were done 50 years ago said that there are five major influences on children, especially the faith of their children. And those, of course, are parents, the church, the school, their friends, and the media. So those are the five major influences on children. Now, 50 years ago, the way it was in our society, because we more or less lived in a Christian society, we're not living in a Christian culture anymore, we're living in a neo-pagan culture, we're living in a secular culture, we're trying to be Christians, living in a secular, materialistic, hedonistic world. But 50 years ago, the number one influence on children were parents. Parents, grandparents, family members, brothers and sisters. That was the big influence upon children, was the family. And second, 50 years ago, it was the church. The church, the parish, the priests, the nuns. That was the second most influence on children as far as their faith formation. Third was the school. Teachers, coaches, helpers in the school. Fourth were friends. That was the fourth influence on the kids back then. And number five was the media, the movies, the TV, the music, etc. Nowadays, things have been reversed. Nowadays, the number one influence on your children, even more so than yourself, is their friends, who they hang around with, who they associate with. Friends are the number one influence on kids. And answer that, it might be the phone. Okay, number two, the second big influence on kids today, you would hope it would be the parents, but it's not. It's the media. The media trumps you at this time in society. Your kids' friends trump you at this time in society. So number two is the media. Imagine that the movies, the TV, the computer, the commercials, the music, that is having a bigger impact upon your child's faith formation than yourselves, unless you do something about it. Number three is parents. Parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents, family members. You're now the third influence as far as the impact that you're having upon your kids. Number four, then, is the school, the teachers, the coaches. And number five is the church, the parish, their the priests, the nuns, etc. So notice how in 50 years we've gone from more or less a situation, a society where the family, the parents had the most influence on their kids. Now you're relegated to number three behind friends and media. Now I tell you this to just make you aware of it. And because you might say, well, I'm doing my best to raise my children in the practice of the faith, but why aren't they as interested in the faith? Well, it's because of the influence of friends, of media, of the schools, of other things that have crept up and pushed you in the background. So because of that, you have to be all the more committed to being the number one influence in the life of your children, to make sure that you fight to get ahead of the media, to get ahead of the friends, so that you can be the number one influence upon your children. And you do that by developing that close-knit relationship with your children. So your job as parents is to nurture your child's faith and to protect your child's faith. To nurture their faith through development of good habits and virtues and holiness, and then to protect and safeguard your children from evil influences that would come to them through the computer, through the television, through the movies, through the music. So your job is to nurture and protect, the job of mom and dad. So to preserve your child's innocence as long as is possible in this pagan society in which we live. So now moving on to the second part of the talk would be the order of nature. How to build that close-knit relationship with your kids, to build loving relationships so that your influence on your kids will be stronger than the world's influence, stronger than the media's influence, stronger than the friend's influence. And obviously in the family situation, you want to have the perfect balance of love and limits. You don't want to be high on love and low on limits. You don't want to be high on limits and low on love. You want not just to be you don't want to be autocratic parents saying that it's going to be my way or the highway. On the other hand, you don't want to be permissive parents of saying, well, anything goes. You don't want to be neglectful parents of not paying attention. You want to be relational parents, which is the proper balance of love and limits. Lots of love, but also some limits. It's not good enough just to have rules, because rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. But rules with a relationship leads to response. So that's what you want to do, is to have an environment in your home where you will be the greatest influence on your kids. So try to make your home an environment of love, peace, joy, laughter. Make it a good atmosphere in which the kids can grow up in. Not a war zone, not lots of arguments, but a place of security. When they come home from school, they know when they come into the home, it's a place of peace. And that's a place of joy and laughter and love. So here are five suggestions to give to you in the order of nature that any parents can do that can help to build that stronger relationship with the child so that you can be the biggest influence on your child. Number one is make sure there is always honor in your home. Honor is at the basis of all the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, honor the Lord's name, honor the sanctity of marriage, honor other people's property, honor the truth, honor life. See, honor is at the basis of the Ten Commandments and really should be the basis of marriage. When you say you will love and honor that person for the rest of your life. So honor is respect. To try to always have acts of kindness within the family, acts of courtesy, thoughtfulness, value each other, treat each other as the most important person on earth, treat your spouse as the most important person on earth, treat your kids with great respect and reverence. Never put your spouse down, never put your children down. realize the dignity of every human person. And if you realize that person's dignity, then they will grow up with high levels of self-worth and self-respect and self-confidence. Because that's what you want to do. You want to raise happy, healthy, self-confident children. So if honor is there, that can make a big difference. Number two is try to increase love and acceptance. Unconditional love for your kids. Your kids have to know that you have unconditional love for them. Even from the womb, as soon as that new life is conceived in the womb, unconditionally love that child. And to accept that child and that gift of life and that blessing that is coming into the family. With love and acceptance, the children can grow in that atmosphere, with that loving atmosphere of between husband and wife, and with their in the atmosphere you're trying to give to the children. And as you know, kids spell love T-I-M-E. It's how much time you can spend with them. That's how they experience your love, is by you spending time with them. And they say that sometime during your life, you're going to have to spend time with your kids. When they're young, forming them, or when they're old, visiting them in prison. Okay, so you have to spend, you're going to have to spend time with them eventually. It's better to do it while they're young, when you can form them, than later on when you have to do it on a telephone behind glass. Okay, so one-on-one time, if you have two kids or three kids or seven kids or whatever, if you can, once a month or once a year, take each kid out individually and spend that one-on-one time with each child individually, even if it's for 15 minutes going to get an ice cream. So love and acceptance. The child has to know and to feel, not just know in their mind, but have to feel that they are loved unconditionally by you. Number three is affection. Affection. One Christian psychologist said that kids need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for emotional well-being, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So ask yourself, are you giving the kids the amount of hugs that they need in life? So start when they're young. And actually, giving hugs builds up the immune system, makes people healthier and happier. They live longer. It's been a proven fact. They've done in studies for 50 years with different insurance companies that if the husband, before he leaves for work in the morning or before the wife leaves, if you give your spouse a big kiss and a big hug, you'll be healthier. You'll make 20% more income in your job. So, and you will live longer and be happier. The medical bills will decrease, so your very lives are at stake here. Okay, so be affectionate with your spouse, and you'll do much better in every aspect of your life. If you have affection with your spouse and with your children, you'll live longer, be happier, and make more money. That's always helpful. Because then you can always give 10% to the church, so that helps us too. Number four is approval and praise. Make sure in your family there's lots of approval and lots of praise. If you read the book The 1 Minute Manager or The 1 Minute Father by Ken Blanchard and Spencer Johnson, they say catch the other person doing something right. Catch your kids doing something right. Give them sincere, immediate, and specific praise. So encouragement. Some people are dying for lack of encouragement. And in fact, the devil's biggest trick is discouragement, to get people to get discouraged and to fall into despair. And just the other day, actually, when I was at a meeting with the bishop, he mentioned a little story. And this man went to the devil's shop, and the devil had all these things for sale. And this man offered to buy everything in the store, and the devil said, yes, I'll sell you everything. And so the man loaded up everything, all the tools of the devil, this fellow bought. And he noticed that on the way out there was one little key sitting on the shelf. And he said, well, I thought I was going to buy everything. And the devil says, no, I can't sell you that. He says, you're kidding. Why won't you sell me that one little key? The devil said, because I can do, he said, that key represents discouragement. The devil says, I can do more with that one key than all the other tools in my shop. Isn't that amazing? That's the devil's tools, to get people discouraged and depressed and to fall into despair. So encourage one another. The word encourage means to strengthen the heart. And courage, coraggio, the heart, core. To encourage a person means to strengthen their heart. Make sure you praise your children, water their flowers, not their weeds. Make sure that you always compliment them on their good qualities, their habits, their generosity, their kindness. So water their good qualities, and that's the best way to help them grow in the virtues, is to give them feedback. They say feedback is the breakfast of champions. So have positive expectations for your children and give them lots of praise and lots of approval. And number 5 is communication. Being a good listener with your kids, because listening builds trust. And if you're going to be ahead of the media and the friends, you have to have that communication with the kids. To be a good listener and give your child sincere and genuine compliments. Mark Twain said he could survive 2 months on one good compliment. So give each other sincere, genuine compliments as husband and wife, and also with your children. As Dale Carnegie says, avoid 3 words that should never be found in a family. Never criticize, condemn, or complain. People say, what else is there to talk about? But never criticize, condemn, or complain. And in place, be a good listener and give sincere, genuine compliments to your spouse and your children. Lastly, number 3, part 3 of the talk, is the order of grace. We talked about the order of nature. Those are natural things. Even pagans can do those things, right? Even pagans can, you know, show respect and honor and love and acceptance and affection and approval and praise and have good communication. But in keeping your kids Catholic, what you want to do is to develop this order of grace. Because grace builds on nature. The best way to keep your kids Catholic is to become the best person yourself, to become the best Catholic yourself, as a mom or as a dad. And one of the neat analogies is that whenever you fly in an airplane, before they take off, remember they always have the flight attendant go through the rigmarole about, well, in case we're going to crash into the ocean, you have to put your vest on here, and you have to, the mask will come down. And you know what it says? It says to the parents, put your own mask on first, and then help your child with his or her mask. And that's a great analogy for the faith, that if your faith is strong, then make sure your faith, relationship with the Lord, is strong. Your prayer life is strong. If your prayer life is strong, then you'll be able to help your child put on his or her mask as well. So always remember that analogy. Hal Roach, the Irish comedian, says that, he says, actually, in those masks, there's nothing, there's no air in there. Those are just to muffle your screams, okay? But he was just joking. He says, whenever he flies, he doesn't like to fly because when he walks into the airport, he sees the word terminal. Terminal. He says, everything in the airport is designed to scare you. And the pilot says, and now we come to our final landing. We come to our final approach. So anyway, just make sure you put your own mask on first, and then you can help your children with theirs. So give your child a solid foundation in the faith. So by practicing your own faith, that's the best way to pass on the faith to the children. So in your own life, have a deep, committed relationship with God and the Church. Work on your own spiritual life. You're called to holiness. So be genuine, be sincere, be real in your relationship with God, because they'll be able to see that and be able to tell that. Because kids want authenticity. They want genuineness. They're turned off by hypocrisy, but they're edified by example. So many times I've heard stories of kids that are so inspired by seeing their mom or dad kneel down and pray. We have in our diocese a nun, Sister Marianne, and her brother, Father Matthew. They were born and raised in Texas. She's a Nashville Dominican. He's a priest in our diocese. And in one of the articles that she wrote about her, how she discovered her vocation, was that one morning she came down early from upstairs on their farm, on their ranch in Texas, and she came downstairs very early, and there was her dad kneeling, saying his morning prayers. And that just made such an impression. He wasn't doing it for show. He was doing it because that was his relationship with God. And that's what touched her so much, that it planted the seeds of vocation when the children can see the parents praying. So I want to end with 10 practical suggestions on what you can do to keep your kids Catholic. Number one is to pray for them. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. So pray for your children and pray hard for them. And so if you pray, and God will give them grace. In the story of St. Monica, who prayed for 20 years for Augustine's conversion, after 20 years, Monica got very discouraged, and she went to St. Ambrose and said, "What must I do about my son? I always talk to him about God. I'm always trying to convince him about the truth." And Ambrose said one thing. He said, "Monica, talk more to God about Augustine and less to Augustine about God." And that made the difference. So she got down on her knees and she prayed all the more, and Augustine was converted. See, to keep your kids Catholic and to raise them Catholic, it's a matter of grace. It's the grace of God that will do it. Where do you get grace from? You get grace from prayer. Pray every day for your children. Pray every day for your husband, every day for your wife. Pray every day for the family. I would recommend that in your own personal prayer life, that when you wake up every day, you would pray the morning offering, to offer up all your prayers, works, joys to the Lord. Have your morning prayer, your daily devotions. At night, before you go to sleep, do your examination of conscience and make your act of contrition. Those are the two bookends of the spiritual life, the morning offering and the act of contrition. And make Christ real within the family. Talk about him and talk to him. Make sure you pray your grace before meals with the children, and to try to have other prayers you can say with them as well. Enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the picture of the Sacred Heart. Try to enthrone that in your home and consecrate your family to the Sacred Heart. Number two, go to Mass faithfully every Sunday, every holy day. Whether it be a Saturday night vigil Mass or a Sunday Mass, make sure that you give God 1 hour at least every week. And that 1 hour of prayer can make a dramatic difference. So go to Mass faithfully. See, in America, one of the biggest problems is that there are many families, many parents that make sure that the kids go to CCD, but they don't take the kids to Mass. And I hope that's not the case in our parish. So I'd like just to encourage all of our parents to make sure they're faithfully attending Mass every weekend, whether it be Saturday night or Sunday. Because giving God that 1 hour every week is so important. See, the Lord says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind." Well, if you can't even give God 1 hour in that week, then certainly you don't love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So by dedicating that 1 hour a week, that's an indication that God comes first. He comes ahead of soccer, he comes ahead of sports and ahead of travel and those other things that are vying at our time. So make sure that you're giving God that 1 hour out of 168. And that really isn't asking too much. God doesn't ask that much. A good analogy I use with the kids is, let's say if I gave you $168, okay, I gave you $168 $1 bills, and I said you can spend this on whatever you want. And then I just thought, well, you know what, I have to take the bus, can I get a dollar back? And if you said, no, it's all mine, this is my $168, but I could say, well, I just gave you $168, can't you give me one back? And that's how it is with God. He gives us 168 hours during the week, and he says you can spend them in whatever way you want, but just give me that 1 hour back. And we should not be selfish. We should be generous with God and give Him that hour back. And hopefully, then that will lead to even more than just 1 hour. It should lead to daily prayer and daily spiritual reading, etc. So make sure that you do go to Mass as a family, and make sure you are able to bring the kids, because obviously if the kids, they can't drive, so they're at your mercy to be brought to church. So please make that commitment. It's a great New Year's resolution. Even though it's October, you can make that as a good fall resolution. Number three, make sure you go to regular confession and take the kids to confession, especially when the kids are driving you crazy or you're driving them crazy. Go to confession as a family. It saves marriages. It saves relationships. It can keep brothers and sisters from killing each other. So go to regular confession. And I would recommend, if every Catholic went to confession at a minimum of 4 times a year, the entire church would be transformed. If every Catholic went summer, winter, spring, and fall, the whole church would be renewed with God's grace. So try that. At least try to go during the Advent season, during the Lenten season, once during the summer, and once in the fall. And take your kids to confession as well. And if you can go more frequently, maybe once a month, that would be even better. But regular confession. And again, realize if you haven't gone to confession in a long time, you would want to wait to receive communion until you have gone to confession. So if it's been more than a year or so, you probably would want to go to confession first before receiving the Lord again in Holy Communion. Or if you did deliberately miss Mass on a Sunday, you would need to go to confession before going back to communion. But there are legitimate reasons for missing Mass, the Catechism says. This is a wonderful pamphlet. We gave everybody a copy of this tonight. Hopefully you got this one. And it does mention that, for example, this is right from the Catechism. On Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are bound to participate in the Mass. The Sunday Eucharist is the foundation and confirmation of all Christian practice. For this reason, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Eucharist on days of obligation, unless excused for a serious reason. For example, illness. If you're sick, you're excused. Or the care of infants, for example. Or dispensed by their own pastor. I have no idea what that means. Dispensed by their own pastor. Well, I don't know, maybe you're on some sort of a cruise and there's no priest available and you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, you're excused. I excuse you. But you do have to make a serious effort. If you pull into St. Thomas or St. John's and there's a Catholic church right there and it's a Sunday, you can go. But the idea is that you have to make a serious effort, even if you're on vacation. Even Disney World has Mass at the Polynesian Village, right? So there are places you can go, even on vacation, to Mass. So those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin. So thus, you cannot receive the Eucharist worthily if you don't attend Sunday Mass weekly, since being in grave sin means that you may not receive the sacraments. If you are in grave sin, you must go to confession before receiving the Eucharist again. So again, a wonderful pamphlet. Please read it. Number four would be to entrust and consecrate your children to our Blessed Mother. When I was baptized, when my two sisters were baptized, my parents consecrated us to our Blessed Mother. And we are entrusted to Our Lady. And that can help a lot. If you didn't entrust your children to our Blessed Mother at their baptism, you can do so right now. Just in your own mind and heart, say, Blessed Mother, I consecrate my marriage to You, my family to You, each of my children to You. Lead us all closer to Jesus. And that's Our Lady's goal, is to lead us to Christ. Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is a safe refuge, a safe garden to which we can place our children and our families. Number five, I would recommend to pray the rosary every day for your family, for your husband, for your wife, for your children. The rosary is a net that can catch souls and bring them to Christ. So in our society, you know, we need extra prayers. A lot of families will not survive just because of the influence of the secular hedonistic culture. So you have to work all the more and pray all the more to protect your family from evil and from the onslaughts of the evil one. So by praying the rosary every day for your children, I think that would be a wonderful idea. So consider doing that. Number six, make sure that you wear something blessed, a holy medal, maybe the miraculous medal of our Blessed Mother, or the brown scapular of our Blessed Mother. Make sure your children are enrolled in the medal or the scapular. And these are important sacramentals. These things can help you in your faith. In your home, hopefully you'll have a picture of Jesus, like the Sacred Heart, or maybe a statue of our Blessed Mother. Having religious things around, the Bible and children's books and catechisms, these things can help pass on the faith to your children. And remember, the sacramentals lead us to the sacraments by using things like ashes on Ash Wednesday, palms on Palm Sundays, holy medals, holy water. These things can lead us closer to the Lord and to the sacraments. Number seven would be, if you can, try to come to Eucharistic adoration and spend some time before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The best way to pray for your family is Eucharistic adoration. We have it every Friday in our Adoration Chapel, which is right next to the parish office. If you can come by sometime and pray for your family, it's very powerful. The Lord is present there in the Blessed Sacrament. And if you can pray for people by name, pray for each of your children by name, pray for your spouse, pray for your parents. By praying before the Blessed Sacrament by name, it can certainly help keep your kids Catholic in the faith. And number eight, try to provide for the child's religious education. Now you're doing that by either having them go to Catholic school, or you're homeschooling them in the faith, or you're bringing them to CCD or to the CYO, the youth group, and other activities. And it's important that as you look forward to maybe when they get into high school, look around for different opportunities in middle school or Catholic school to be able to get them perhaps to a Catholic high school or middle school. There are more and more opportunities now that new schools have opened up. So consider that, because that can be a big help to you in keeping your kids Catholic, is living the faith in the home, but making sure that they're getting this external education as well, either through Catholic school or through your homeschooling or through the CCD classes. And as you know, and I know all of you are very good about this, making sure the kids are in CCD every year, not just second grade, and then we don't see them for 6 years and they try to come back in seventh or eighth grade, that would be very difficult. That would be tough because they'd miss so much. And so make sure that they're in CCD every single year to get the education in their faith. And then consider, as they get into high school, look at different Catholic colleges that are available. There's wonderful Catholic colleges that can help you to keep your kids Catholic. I can think of, you know, 5 or 10 wonderful places: Franciscan University in Steubenville, Christendom College where I went, so many others, Ave Maria now in Florida, Southern Catholic and Providence College, and I mean, there's many Catholic colleges out there, but look at that very carefully, because oftentimes when kids go to college, that's where they discover their vocation, either to become a priest or become a nun, or they can meet their spouse. And it would be very beneficial is as the kids get older into high school, that you look at these wonderful Catholic colleges that are out there and available, if at all possible, to send them to one of these colleges that is not Catholic in name only, but truly Catholic, where the kids are participating in the sacramental life of the Church and going to Mass and going to confession and going to Eucharistic adoration, because that can be very beneficial. And number nine, try in keeping your kids Catholic, to hang out with other Catholic families that are practicing the faith and living the faith, because, as we mentioned, friends can play an important part either to bring your kids closer to the Lord or to take them away from the Lord. See, we're all chameleons. We all become like the people we hang around. So if your kids can hang out with other kids that and other families that have your same values, that can make a big difference. If there's some wonderful coaches or mentors you can have, the godparents, for example, or other seminarians, priests, religious sisters you can get to know. Because sometimes it's good for the kids to hear the same stuff from other sources, not just from mom and dad. So you want reinforcement. See, they want to, you have to make sure that you can sort of get the kids from the different angles so that they have friends that are supporting their faith, like in the youth group or in CCD, and that other parents and coaches and others can make a big difference as well to help solidify their faith. And lastly, number 10, make sure the kids aren't just, let's say, don't just have the faith, make sure they are sharing the faith. Make sure they're apostolic. So try to get your kids involved in something in the church. Father Faber says, if you don't try to convert the world will convert you. So in your child's faith, if a person just has the faith, they tend not to keep the faith. The only way to keep your faith is to share your faith, to study your faith, and to share it with others. And so encourage your children to be involved in things like making rosaries, visiting the nursing home, spreading the faith, making holy cards, doing things that would be a missionary. And if they do that, then they will grow in their faith. Over in the Holy Land, there's a body of water called the Dead Sea, and there's a body of water called the Sea of Galilee. Well, the Dead Sea takes in water from the Jordan River, but it keeps it to itself. And over time, it's become so salty, it's stagnant. Nothing can live in the Dead Sea, because the Dead Sea does not share its water with anything. It keeps it to itself. Whereas the Sea of Galilee receives the Jordan River, and it gives forth the Jordan River. And the Sea of Galilee is teeming with fish and with life. Well, our faith can either be like the Dead Sea, stagnant if we don't try to share it with others, or it can be like the Sea of Galilee if we share it with others. So make sure that in your own faith and the faith of your kids, that they're involved in these different things, like K4J, or the Challenge Club, or the Conquest Club, or the Junior Legion of Mary. These are all wonderful organizations that we have in the church that can help them to share their faith with others. And if they share their faith, they will not be losing their faith. If they just try to keep the faith to themselves, it will gradually be eroded. So those are 10 suggestions to keep your kids Catholic. It is a matter of God's grace. So first and foremost would be your prayer life for them, your example. Again, your example is of utmost importance, of you living your faith and practicing your faith. And try your very best to do some of these activities that can keep your kids Catholic, such as the Sunday Mass, the regular confession, devotion to Our Blessed Mother, praying for them, etc. So I hope some of these thoughts have been helpful to you. Why don't we say a closing prayer, and I'll give you a blessing. We, in this parish, love a prayer called the Memorare, so let us pray the Memorare together for all the spiritual and material needs of our parish, and let us pray that the Lord and His Blessed Mother will keep you, all your families, very close to the Lord, and keep your kids Catholic and committed to Christ as they grow up. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise on our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.